don't know how to do anything but just try to follow the Lord. And this little sweet gal, she's been glowing for about 3 or 4 days. And just seemed like it was time. There's some things that'll wait, and there's some things that won't. And just felt like that wouldn't wait, just to be honest with you. But we're glad to have you as a candidate of Baptist. Jess, we're honored, honey, to have you. What a wonderful, wonderful entity to be a part of the Church of the Living God, a part of the Mother Church, and to know that we're one of God's, that we've been saved by the grace of God, and that Jesus is our Savior. Well, I'm glad I can say that today. You know, there's a lot of outside pressure that the church is starting to feel. What you have inside of you, I'm going to tell you, it'll be tried by fire. And we're living in a day and a time where it seems like that there's evil all around us. Do you ever get the feeling sometimes, you know it's not so, but maybe every now and then you feel like that evil is maybe winning sometimes? I want to assure you it's not. That God is still in control, and that love still wins, and love wins because love won. Love won on Calvary, and I'm so glad that Jesus died for me. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 43rd Psalm. And in that 43rd Psalm, and I'll be as quick as possible, but at the same time, I want to do my best to share with you what God has laid up on my heart. I told Hunter this. It amazes me that God can even use men and women to perform His will, to be a little mouthpiece. You say, Brother Russell, why do you say that? Because I know my life. I know me. I know how fallible and messed up I am. But I also know this, that where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. And it's not about me or what I feel or what I've done or the education or any of that stuff. It's about the will of God for your life and mine. And it's about the expression of God's love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't die for you in your best state. Jesus died for you in your worst state. You'll never be good enough. Let's go on and get that out of the way. You'll never be good enough to merit the salvation of God. But it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you're going to get saved, it'll be by your faith in Christ and your faith in Christ alone. And the only merit we have is not our righteousness, it's filthy rags unto God, but it is the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. And that's what God sees when He sees me. And I pray that's what God sees when He sees you. There's a question that is asked in the 42nd chapter and the 43rd chapter. It's asked twice, and in other words, this is really on the heart of David. He asked in verse 5 of the 42nd chapter, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" He asked a rhetorical question, and in that of the 43rd Psalm, he asked the same question. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" You know, sometimes we begin to ask questions because what's in us is the answer, and what God has given us is the answer. I want you to notice he asks the question, why is my soul cast down? Why is my soul disquieted within me? And let's look at maybe some of the surroundings that caused him to feel the way he felt. In the 43rd Psalm, in the first verse, he said, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man." Could it be that in David's time he was living in a nation that had forsaken the God that he loved? Could it be that in David's time, as he looked around him, it seemed like everywhere he looked, there was sin on every corner? Here David was. He grew up a patriot. He loved the Lord and he loved the nation of Israel. But now as he looks around him, he sees the nation that he loves seemingly turn their back on God. Does anybody feel that way, or do you see that around us now? and what he sees around him causes him to be discouraged. But along with what he sees, there is this feeling, and I want to talk about that feeling maybe some of us have this morning. Sometimes we look around us and we see the evil around us, and maybe we even question, are we making a difference? There's a lot of times maybe we feel like we're alone and nobody else cares. But I want to assure you this morning, you're here in the house of God not because you have to be. You're here because you care. And the fact that you're here means something to me, and it means something to God, and it ought to mean something to you. I want you to know this, that while there's evil all around us, God has created a mother church that she can overcome evil. And while we're tried and we're tested, we'll find this, that God is faithful even in the midst of our trials. You ever feel that way? David was feeling like, what's the use in even preaching? Why should I even speak up? Nobody's listening. It seems like everybody's going in their own direction. You know what he's really saying? He's saying, I really feel defeated right now, and I really feel like nobody else cares. Well, I want you to know this morning, listen, there is someone that cares. The scripture teaches us to cast our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. And there's no greater lie that's been told by the enemy than to tell you that God don't care. I want you to know God has the very hairs of your head number. God knows where you go. God knows what you do. And God cares all about you this morning. Can I get an amen? Why, what about a God so big that he could create the heavens and the earth? A God so big that he can order the stars and the moon and tell the sun when to shine. But yet a God so personal and so loving that he cares about me. He walks with me and he talks with me, as the old song says. And it tells me that I am his own. What about a God so big, but yet so personal? He loves you and he loves me. David said, oh, my soul. Anybody in here, he's in distress and he's seeing evil all around him. He's saying that you're my God and my strength. Why are you cast off? Why are you far from me? Why do I go mourning? And I want you to notice this word. And if I had a thought, it would be this word. The oppression of the enemy. Let me say, there are a lot of people in the house of God this morning. The reason you're silent and the reason why you don't have the joy you used to have is because there's some oppression going on in your life. Let me tell you this. Oppression will lead you to depression. If you're not careful, you can be oppressed. What is oppression? It is the pressure from the outside of the world. It is the pressure from the evil that is around us. It is pressing us. It is pushing against us. But I want you to know this. While the outside pressure is pushing against us, there's something within us that withstands the outside pressure and says, it's going to be all right, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God bless you, darling. Oh, that's all right. She's fine. She's fine. I want to tell you this. Listen, God has put something in us that cannot be distinguished and extinguished. I want you, God has put something in you that's greater than the trial that you're going through. And David is feeling this outside pressure. Now, I want every young person, boy, I've got to be careful how to find that, don't I? Everybody under the age of about 30, I want you to listen and look real closely at me for just a minute, okay? I want you to understand there's a world around us that wants to press you and fit you into a box and tell you what you need to be to really be a good person. And they got caught up in everything. You know what? I'm tired of people telling me that I'm a man of privilege. Yes, I'm going to. I'm going to admit something to you. I am a man of privilege. I'm not privileged because of the color of my skin. I'm privileged because I know the Lord and he knows me. I'm privileged because I had a grandma and a grandpa that loved Jesus. I had a mama, and I've got a mama and a daddy that I'm privileged because I grew up in a church that loved me. I didn't have one mama. I had a lot of mamas. I sat down at their supper table. When I see them today, hey, I still love them like I always have. Some of them have gone to be with the Lord in glory, but I'm going to see them again one day after a while. Yeah, I'm a man of privilege. I'm privileged to know the Lord. Privilege has nothing to do with the color of a man's skin. Lack of privilege has nothing to do with the color of your skin or how where you were brought up. Privilege is whenever you've been raised in a house of God, when you've been raised by God's people. Listen, I'm not some circumstance or happenstance. I didn't look up to be what I am. Some men and women, they put themselves into me. They prayed for me. I'm a result of the church of the living God. Thank God this morning. Somebody said it takes a village to raise a child. No, it don't take a village. Anybody can be in a village. What it takes to raise a child is a church and these little children. And like when Riley Kate climbed up in my arms, darling, I want you to know we're privileged to be here for each and every child. And it'll take all of us to raise them up in the right way and encourage them in the Lord. Dale's son, I don't know if you knew this when you got involved in this or when the Lord saved you, but now that makes this girl, Blake, is a daughter of privilege. And I'm going to tell you, Jack is a son of privilege. And I can go on and on and on and on about all of our children. Yeah, they're privileged. They're privileged to grow up in a church that loves the Lord. Son, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, to be where you're at is a privilege. Those of us who are older to be where we are, it's a privilege. God didn't leave us out in a cold, dry, dead world to dry up and die. God made us a part of a church that's full of life and vibrant. And if we'll live in Christ, we'll live forever. You say, Brother Russell, that went political. If you got political out of that, you didn't hear a word that I was trying to preach. Oppressed. I'd love to tell you, as a man trying to, boy, I don't even like that man of God. He's a man of God. I don't even exactly know what that means. You know what I am? I'm a man just trying to serve the Lord that's just as messed up as anybody in this house. A man of God. And I understand there are certain prerequisites that go with the privilege and the honor of being called a pastor and being the servant of the church. I understand that and I don't take those lightly. But let me tell you this, if God can use me, God can use anybody. David is feeling oppressed. He's feeling the pressure. He's feeling confined. He's feeling like he don't matter. He's trying to find his place. I want to tell you something, young men, listen. A lot of times we look for our place. God will put you where he wants you. And when he does, it'll be right. And when he does, listen, it may be a small field, but set your plow and go to work. Thank God it's not about the size of the field. It's about the fruit God can produce. David said, I'm oppressed. I got in. How long has it been since you've really joyed in the Lord? How long has it been since what's in you just wanted to cry out to God and say, God, thank you for all that you've done for me? You know what? The altars in the Old Testament, if you find, and I was telling Hunter this a moment ago, when Noah got out of the ark, and I'm not going to get into this debate, but they took the top off. He didn't come out the door. It never opened again. You can do with that what you will. First thing he done, he went and built an altar. What did he do at that altar, Brother Russell? He put a sacrifice on it. He got down on his knees and he said, God, you made me a promise. If I built this ark, you would save me and my family. And now we're on the other side of the storm and on the other side of the flood. Thank you, God, for delivering me through the storm. It was an altar to thank God for what God had done. Do you have an altar of remembrance in your life? You have an altar of remembrance in your home to thank God for what He's done for you. You didn't just end up together. God placed you together. God had His hand on your lives. Thank God there's nothing that just happens. God is in control and the author of our faith and the finisher. Altar of thanksgiving. I thought about Abraham when he got over to Bethel, and in that place between Ai and Bethel, he built an altar to the Lord, and there he first called upon the Lord. And you know what? God had already delivered him through some stuff. And I can see him put the sacrifice and shed the blood and it be on the altar. I see him kneel down there. And the first thing Abraham done when he erected that altar to God, he thanked God for revealing himself to him. He thanked God for what God had already done. There are too many of us that are asking God to do stuff. We need to first thank Him for what He's already done. Have you erected an altar of thanksgiving unto the Lord? He got away from God. Have I got any pilgrims who strayed from the Lord? Oh, if you hadn't, just live a little longer. Let me say this, Kaylee, sweetheart. That don't have to be your testimony. Can I go ahead and say that? Let me say this to all you young folks who've been saved. Your testimony don't have to be when I was 20, I strayed from the Lord, and at 30, I came back and God restored me. You know what, sweetheart? You can have a testimony that I live for the Lord. I got saved. I never strayed away. I never got too far. And you can have a testimony that, yeah, I've had my trials and tribulations, but I never left the Lord, and He certainly never left me. And Riley, maybe that is already your testimony, honey. If you look at what God's done with your family, and there's a lot of great things that God has done for all of us in here, and every now and then we ought to just bow down on our face and erect an altar of thanksgiving. Callie, it's not just happenstance. You become the lady that you are. My Phillips girls, that didn't just happen. God had His hand on your life. He said, Brother Russell, you're awful bad about calling them out. Chad and Manoah, your time's coming. No. The Turner girls all call out with regularity, right? Nothing just happens. There's altars. So Abraham and Sarah, they went down into Egypt. There's a drought in the land. I want to challenge, listen, church, this is your challenge. I challenge you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let there be a drought in the land. What do you mean, Brother Russ? I'm going to tell you, the reason people leave the church is because there's no spirit. The reason they leave the church is because there's no life. One sure way to see our children stray away from God is to meet and say everything's all right when the Spirit's not with us and not dwelling richly within us and in the house of God. And let me say this, you can do your part and I can do my part. And God help us, there'll not be a drought in Silver City. Church, by the grace of God. They got to straight away, went down to Egypt looking for food, didn't find anything that satisfied, got to tell a bunch of lies. Ain't it something when we start straying away from the Lord, all of a sudden we begin to, we take our values and our morals and we kind of shove them aside. And the next thing you know, this man that loves God and has made a vow to God and built an altar and called upon God, now he's a liar. He's a liar. Pharaoh says, I don't know what you are, who you are, but I think I know whose you are. I think you're God's, and I think you need to leave this land and go back to where you come from. And old Abraham packed up the meal, said, Mama, we're going back to the house. We're going back to where we come from. And he made his way between Bethel and Ai, and there he called upon the Lord again. That altar was still there. I'm going to tell you, Kelly, you've erected an altar, and it'll always be there, sweetheart. So why Are we in the state we're in? You said, Brother Russell, hurry up. Hey, hang with me. I'm going to be as quick as I can. All right? Why are we in the state we're in as a nation? I'm going to tell you why. Because this nation once had an altar erected unto the living God and unto His Son, Jesus Christ. And that altar is continuously in every way and every facet being torn at. They're trying to tear it down. And it's time for some men and women that are full of the Holy Ghost of God to stand up and say, we will rebuild this altar. You can't have it. In the days of Gideon, the first thing Gideon done before he fought, he went and he repaired the altar of the Lord. And yeah, I'm going to the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, where Elijah had to battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And the first thing he done, he repaired the altar of the Lord. And that don't just start in our nation. That starts in our church. That starts in our home. We got to pray together and have a heart of prayer and thanksgiving toward God. Now, I apologize for being really loud, but I am passionate. I want you to know we have not lost this country, because this country was never ours. It was founded by the hand of the living God, and it's not too late. And stop buying into the doom and the despair. Your voice is still heard, and it may not be heard by your politician, but it's heard by Heavenly Father, and He's the one who has all power. You're not forgotten by God. We live in a day and a time where they call right wrong and wrong right. They call righteousness. When somebody tries to, listen to me, young people, you try to live for the Lord, they're going to talk about how quirky and how you don't fit in. I'm going to tell you that you're not going to fit in. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. You're not going to fit. You wouldn't. Here's a secret. You were never meant to fit. Listen, what is the solution? Boy, I love you. He asked a question. He said, why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. Why are you sad? Why are you self-defeated? Why have you given up? That's what David's asking himself. Listen to what he said. What is the solution? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead me and bring me under the holy hill. Let them lead me under the tabernacle. Men of God, I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You preach the truth even when it's not convenient. And most of the time it won't be. Be instant in season and out of season, but share the love of Christ with everybody. He said, thy light. He said, thy truth, thou guide me under thy holy hill. Then I'll go to the altar under the God of my exceeding joy. And upon the harp will I praise thee. Listen to this. I will praise thee, O God. What's the next words? My God. He's not just God. He is, but He's my God. I've got a personal claim to Him because He has a personal claim to me. He bought me. He paid for me on Calvary. Jesus did. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. He's not just God. He's my God. But is He yours? He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? What was his answer? Why am I so sad? Why do I feel so down? Why do I feel so defeated? Did he say, hope thou in man? Let me tell you something. If you're looking for man's acceptation to make you who you are, you'll never find it. Listen, one of the saddest things I guess I've ever seen. And it's still this way with my daughter. It's just different with a daddy and a daughter. It's strange, but it's good. That little girl's still looking for my approval. She's still looking for her father's approval. And every now and then, It's good to pull that little old girl of mine in my arms and just say, no matter what you do, Daddy loves you. What makes you loved is the fact that you're mine. What makes you loved by me, there's nothing you could do any more, any less. I love you because it's there. It's in my heart. I tell you this, son, all these years, you don't need my approval, son. If it's all right with the Lord, it's all right with Daddy. And if it ain't, there's something wrong with Daddy. Oh, I thank God. Boy, didn't it get still. What was the answer? You know what, Dale? As you raise her, son, she's going to look to you. You're going to be a role model for her son. Hey, that's a lot of pressure, ain't it? Ain't she already? Shane, you got them girls. You know what I'm talking about. They're still looking. Oh. Done went and growed up, ain't you, honey? But his approval still means something, doesn't it? It matters how we love our children. It matters the example we set. If you would give up when you could have, would they be here today? If you'd give up when it got hard, would they be here today, honey? You see what I'm saying? And there have been some of ours that have been pulled. They're feeling the pressure. But Reyes, I believe with all that within me is what God put in them speaks to them. Couldn't find out what the source of his hurt. Or he found out he's looking for the source of his hurt. He may not have really found the source of his hurt, but he found the source of his relief. Hope thou in God. Boy, isn't that simple? Don't trust men. Don't trust politicians. Don't trust government. Yeah, I said that. Don't trust them. Trust the Lord. Amen. Trust, if they be worthy, trust God's people. Stand to your feet this morning. I tell you what, look back there. I look at a little man laying on the floor. That's precious, ain't it? Mom and Daddy, I didn't do that to them. I'm telling you, that's precious. To God, our floors were littered with kids all around laying there. If you're looking for somebody else to change our nation, it's not going to happen. You are the agents of change. God has put His light in you to make a difference. David said, Let your light lead me to the hill. You know where you'll find that light? Sometimes in the darkest places. Sometimes a little old school teacher just doing her job. Loving the Lord is enough light in a dark place. We are the difference. And God, we're looking for God to use somebody else. And God is saying, I want to use you. But you've got to get over this oppression and feeling like you can't and feeling like you don't matter. Now, I'm going to say this. It's okay to feel unworthy because you're not worthy and I'm not worthy either. But know this, it's not about worthiness. It's about His grace and His mercy. Come get us a song. As they get us a song, I want to say this. I am 52 years old. That's old, ain't it? Some of you that are older than that are like, no, that ain't that old. Dawn, I see you back there, Dawn. She's going, no, that ain't old at all. You know what I find myself doing still, Janet? And, you know, like, oh, my gosh. I still find myself trying to find the approval of my daddy. Don't I, baby? Sometimes to fall, don't I? I don't want to disappoint him. He's brought me this heritage, and I want to live up to it. And I feel that pressure. Don't want to disappoint him. I'm still looking for his, in some ways, I'm still looking for his approval. And some of you my age and older, and if your mom and dad's still alive, you still look for that very same thing. Do you know what I found? I found that his approval is good and it lasts a little season. But boy, every now and then when the Lord, you know, whenever Riley Kate jumped in my arms a minute ago, every now and then when I just get in the arms of the Lord and feel his love and compassion, oh, it makes all the difference in the world. I said that to say this, listen. Some of you may not have grown up in that kind of home and in that kind of surrounding, and you may feel cheated or feel like that something was left out of your life. But I want to encourage you in this. If you've been saved, you have a father that loves you. And you have a mother called the church that loves you. If you need to pray this morning, listen. You need to talk to the Lord. Men, tremendous responsibility has been laid on your shoulders by the Word of God to be the head of your household. Not to put the wife under your thumb, but to love her and encourage her to be the best of who she is and to be partners laboring together. She's my equal. And some of you would say, she totes you, man. Yes, she does. Starts in our homes. What you got, Steve?
Page 534.
God bless you.